Hi, guys. Tom Wakeling here. Here to give you some comments about your performance. Hope they're helpful. Yeah, I've got to always know where we are in the form on this one. Back to the last A right there. Good. Yeah, drummer, you nailed, you know, you gave us a little cue as to that we were at the top of the form when you hit the crash cymbal. Guitar is a little too loud, and I would suggest when you have both piano and guitar in the group that they both don't comp at the same time. It can create a little bit of clutter harmonically, so you might want to take turns on that. And also, again, if guitar being up a little bit above the rest of the rhythm section and stuff, it's sort of becoming on the edge of becoming the main thing rather than the other thing. Drums stylistically be logical to be on a ride cymbal now, not on a hi-hat. I'm not sure why you changed. It was, all those kinds of changes and decisions are dictated by what's going on in the music, and, you know, we want to not be doing things out of habit. So check out recordings. You know, there's a lot of recordings of this tune. Of course, the first and original one is John Coltrane. And couldn't ask for a better rhythm section with Elvin Jones on drums. And they played that Jimmy Garrison and McCoy Tyner. So, go back to the source and, you know, check those recordings out. And real deeply, you know, transcribe things and play along with them and listen to them in a really focused, dedicated way. Nice. You played the form. Great. Your pitch centered, guys. Want to really, you know, get that get that pitch really nailed down. It's a little loose there, and if the rest of the band comes in and, you know, adds additional inaccuracy, you're sort of aiming for trouble. So just be real careful, always listen and adjust, and, you know, correct as you go. It's nothing wrong with coming in or playing a little out of tune. The best guys and jazz guys in the world do that, but they adjust it and fix it so quickly you don't really realize it. So that's the key, is, you know, to be so focused that and so in tune, attuned to that, that when you hear it happening, you fix it like right away. fans are here. I would maybe have guitar layout at the beginning and add a little later, and I'd go for a little bit of a darker sound. It's a bit sort of bright and brittle, and so blend-wise, it's not really a jazz sound. Check out, you know, like how Freddie Green sound with Count Basie or Wes Montgomery, you know, jazz guitarist Wes Montgomery, you know, check out his sound, and you'll get an idea of, you know, generally jazz guitar and guitar played in this setting is a little less bright, and it's got a darker sound to it. Lighten up on the bass drum, drummer. It's I don't know if you were at Lewis Nash's clinic or not, but he talked about feathering the bass drum, and that would be the thing that would be appropriate in this circumstance. So with the comping from, you know, piano, you might want to check out lots of recordings of people playing the blues and, you know, this tune as well, and really sort of figure out what they're doing. You want to comp with conviction and confidence, and you want the comping and the chords to fit, you know, what's going on around you and what's being played, the bass notes that are being played. Best ways for rhythm section players to learn how to play appropriate things is to listen to the jazz greats and transcribe and play along and really study that stuff. So much is not written on your parts when you play in a rhythm section, and so you really have to do your homework, you know, to know what's going on. Soloists as well. I mean, you know, so you're soloing over 12-bar blues, so you can get a lot of great ideas by listening to the jazz greats solo over 12-bar blues. Challenges in playing jazz for, you know, as you're coming up, sort of learning it, is in a big band is, you know, the big band, when everybody's playing and you're reading the arrangements, you know, and playing stuff that's written, it's, you know, there's a contrast then when all of a sudden that goes away and we have to have rhythm section and soloists, you know. And so if you're not sure about what you're doing, you know, if it's tentative, you know, we have to really make sure to sort of keep the level up, you know, in terms of intensity and note choices and all that kind of stuff. When the band goes away and we're down to, you know, more improvising, we really want the level of the improvising to match the level of the writing when the whole band is playing. And so, you know, again, you know, listening, if you're listening to this, these, you know, stealing licks, you know, I mean, it's not illegal to steal people's licks. Mangione. I'm doing actually starting a tour next week, 14 dates, starting here and ending up in Northern Washington with a drummer who used to, from LA, who worked with Chuck Mangione a lot, named Dave Tull. This nice and steady rhythm, don't let it rush. Some good ensemble playing going here. Nice job, trumpets. Just make sure we're together when we play those half notes. Can cut time there. Just don't let those rush in the box. Another thing to think about is changing up the texture in the rhythm section here. You want to try to, you know, create different texture and sound behind different sections, behind soloists. And so you might find something else in the drums through here, through that last set of sections, that just might give a little contrast and a little unfolding. Chord is work on your scale, the scale that fits that chord, so that when you improvise over that chord, you're getting notes that really work well. Bass doing a good job back there, nice and solid, keeping it going. Guitar, you really got to be careful to not overpower. Guys, good set. Enjoyed hearing you.